Welcome to Water of the Word, the radio ministry of Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. Join us today as Pastor Steve continues through a verse-by-verse study of the book of Zechariah. Though written more than 500 years before Jesus, this powerful little book has much to say about today's headlines, as well as deep insight into the Lord's work and ministry in the lives of believers right now. So come on along. May we all be refreshed and inspired as we are washed by the water of the Word.
After the Father glorifies me, the Messiah, to the nations which have plundered you, what's going to happen? Write it in your margin, Ezekiel chapter 43, verses 2 through 5. Let me just read that to you while you make your way to Matthew chapter 25. Here's what Ezekiel says. Afterward, he, the Lord, brought me, Ezekiel, to a gate. What gate? The gate that faces toward the east. And behold, the glory of the Lord of Israel came from the way of the east. Who is the glory of Israel? It's Messiah. Who is the Messiah, everybody? It's Jesus Christ. His voice, this Messiah, continuing in Ezekiel, his voice was like the sound of many waters. What that means is like standing at the bottom of Niagara Falls. Is that loud? And the earth shone with his glory, and the glory of the Lord came into the temple by way of the east gate. Now, Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. Write somewhere in your margin, Zechariah 2, verse 5, where we are. Also write Ezekiel 43, verse 2 through 5, which I read to you. Now let's read verse 31 here. When the Son of Man comes in what? His glory. Now what does that mean? Ezekiel told us. When he comes to his glory in Revelation 19, back to planet Earth, he sets up his throne in Jerusalem. That's what Ezekiel was telling about. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, and He will sit on a throne of His glory, and by the way, that's going to be Jerusalem specifically, Ezekiel 43 says so. Verse 32, all the nations, how many nations is that, everybody? That's all the nations, will be gathered before Him, Jesus, and He will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. He will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father. Inherit the what? The kingdom, the millennial reign, prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Verse 35. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer, when did we do all of these things? Skip down to verse 40. And the Messiah, the one reigning in glory, where? In Jerusalem. Verse 40. The king will answer and say to them, I'll tell you when. I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of these, my brethren. Who was Jesus' brethren at this time? His Jewish heritage. And then, of course, it goes on to the other people who didn't do those things. Back to Zechariah chapter 2. What is going to happen in the millennial reign is Jesus comes back, Revelation 19, and dispatches all of his enemies. He takes Satan and he binds Satan and all the fallen angels, known as demons, 4,000 years. He's going to reconstitute, rebuild planet Earth into its Eden-like state, and he is going to physically live on planet Earth in Jerusalem. And who is going to be the extensions of his administration to the humans who made their way and survived through the Great Tribulation? Us in our brand new bodies. That's how that's going to work. Let's keep cruising now through chapter 2, verse 8, one more time. For thus says the Lord of hosts, He, the Father, sent me, Messiah, after God glorifies Him, to the nations which plunder you. For he who touches you, Israel, touches the apple of God's eye. Hold your finger here. Let me show you what God thinks about anti-Semitism. Join me in Genesis chapter 12. And the origins of anti-Semitism begin where, everybody? Not in Nazi Germany. It begins with hell itself. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Look at verse 3. He's talking to Abraham, who really is the beginning of the Jewish race. I will bless those who bless you, Abraham, or if you will, his descendants known as the Jewish people. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you. I want you to look up, if you get a chance, a couple of these nations. They were huge in their day. Biggest army, biggest economy. They were the number one of all the people of their time, and they all came to an ultimate and sudden end. Let me explain them. Babylon, how did they end? Not too good. The Egyptians, ask Pharaoh and the Red Sea thing. What about the Greeks who mistreated Jerusalem? Is the Greek Empire anymore? How about the Romans? Did the Romans mistreat the Jews? Have you met a Roman recently? Spain, the Spanish Inquisition originally started to get rid of the Jews out of Europe. How did the Spanish Armada meet its end? At the hand of the British. Did the British double deal the Jews when they gave them, or they promised they would give them back their land? And then basically pulled it back, psych, the Bellflower debacle. Germany, did Germany mistreat the Jews? 6 million of them. How did it work out for Hitler? Russia, as recently as the mid-1980s, and the regime, which is to say the old Soviet Socialist Republic, did that last? No. And I wrote in my Bible, America? With a question mark. As long as the United States blesses Israel, God will bless us. But when we turn our back on her, you say, come on, Steve. October 30th, 1991, George Bush Sr. opens the Madrid Conference in Spain with an initiative for a Middle East peace plan involving Israel's land. More specifically, the giving up of Israel's land. On that same day, an extremely rare storm forms off the coast of Nova Scotia, joins with other bizarre weather patterns, and eventually has become known as the perfect storm that a book and a movie were made about, setting 100-foot waves crashing and pounding against the New England coast. And guess whose house sustained heavy damage? President Bush's home at Kennebunkport, Maine. August 23rd, 1992, the Madrid conference moves to Washington, D.C., and the peace talks resume, lasting only 4 days. On that same day, Hurricane Andrew, the worst natural disaster ever to hit America, wipes out an estimated $30 billion in damages and leaves 180,000 homeless. Is that a coincidence? Some would say, yeah, yeah. What was in there? Number 3. January 16, 1994, President William Jefferson Clinton meets with Syria's then President Hafiz al-Assad, not the current Assad that's there now, in Geneva. They talk about a peace agreement with Israel that includes giving up the Golan Heights. When you mess with Israel, you're messing with the apple of God's eye. Pshaw, say some. Really? Well, when he did that on January 16, 1994, a powerful 6.9 earthquake rocks Southern California. It's centered in Northridge. It's the second most destructive natural disaster to hit the United States behind Hurricane Andrew. January 21, 1998. Netanyahu meets with President Clinton at the White House and is coldly received. Clinton and Secretary of State Madeleine Albright refuse to have lunch with him. Shortly afterward that day, the Monica Lewinsky scandal breaks the mass media. I've got more. I'll just read this in the interest of time. June 5th through the 11th in the year 2001. What are the two most destructive natural disasters? Hurricane Andrew and then that Northridge earthquake. Is there one that's more powerful? June 5th through 11th, 2001, on June 5th, President George W. Bush sends CIA Director George Tenet to Israel to try to broker a ceasefire between the Israelis and the Palestinians involved in what was then called the Second Intifada, and to implement the Mitchell Report. What is that? Remember the road map to peace? Tenet wants Israel to stop building in settlement areas. On Friday, June 8th, the CIA director hosts talks between senior Israeli and Palestinian security officials, while Assistant Secretary of State William Bum meets Yasser Arafat. Exactly coinciding with these talks on June 8th through 9th, one of the greatest rainfalls in history in the United States occurs in eastern Texas. A 24-hour period, over 28 inches of rain falls in the Houston area alone. One more. August 15, 2005, deadline for unilateral disengagement. Shimon Peres, under tremendous international pressure, get Israel out of the Gaza Strip. Let them become their own leaders. Shimon Peres says, the second we do, they're going to start rocketing us from our southern borders. No, they won't. They promised they wouldn't. Shimon Peres, ultimately, he capitulates much pressure from the big four, that was the United States, Russia, the European Union, and he finally capitulates, and an important component of the roadmap to peace, authored mostly by the U.S., orders all 22 Israeli settlements dismantled and removed from the Gaza Strip. By August 22nd, the last settlements were evicted. And on August 23rd, a mild Category 1 storm forms near the warm Gulf of Mexico. She becomes, do you remember? Katrina. Hits just east of New Orleans on August 29th, 1,836 people confirmed dead, 705 are still missing, and $89 billion damage was done. Katrina is now the most costly natural disaster in U.S. history. You want me to go on? I got plenty. Here's what God's Word says in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. Abraham, I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those that curse you. Have you seen any Egyptians around? Have you seen any Babylonians or Romans or Nazis around? There's a reason for that. Because God's word is true, and let every man be a liar. Verse 9, for surely I will shake my hand against them, those nations that come against you, and they shall become spoil for your servants. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me, the Messiah. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion. For behold, I am coming and will dwell in your midst, says the Lord. Many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day, and they shall become my people. And I, Jesus, I, the Messiah, will dwell in your midst in the millennial reign. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. And by the way, in the book of Revelation, chapter 19, when all of